www.pvchurchofchrist.com, and you can hear these sermons again and maybe take them slower and go to the scriptures and maybe study them even better. Also, I want to encourage all of you to open your Bibles and follow along with me this evening. To those who are not Christians here this evening, I plead with you to pay very close attention to this lesson. I don't know if there's any non-Christians here, but I do plead with you to pay very close attention to this lesson. Even if you are a Christian, I want you to pay close attention to it. If you've been coming to Bible class on Wednesday evenings, you know that we have been studying quite a great deal about the great Apostle Paul. So this evening, we're going to go into more depth of Saul's conversion that we see in the book of Acts. I'm going to take it real slow, and I'm going to take it easy to make sure that everyone knows exactly what the Bible says about yours and my salvation. So again, I ask you to open your Bibles and follow along and even take notes if you like. And if there's anything you don't understand about our lesson this evening, please let me or one of the men here know, and we'll be glad to set up a Bible study with you or with anyone. Anyone that wants a Bible study, we would love to do that. So this evening's lesson is does and will, brethren, this evening's lesson does and will affect your salvation and where you will spend eternity. So let's open our Bibles to Acts, the 23rd chapter. And as I always say, don't take my word, only the word of God, which of course is the Bible. Now, one of the most impressive and important events recorded in the pages of the New Testament is the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, later called the Apostle Paul. Three different times it is detailed in the book of Acts. We read the inspired historical account of Saul's conversion in Acts 9, verses 1 through 19. This time is told by Luke. And the last two times, the accounts is told by Paul himself in Acts 22, verses 1 through 16, and in Acts 26, verses 8 through 23. Now, by combining these accounts, here's what we learn that Saul did for salvation. By putting these events in chronological order, we have a listing of the events connected with that conversion, and we can see if there are not some vital important lessons that we might learn from it. To begin to understand the conversion of Saul, we must first examine what we know of his life prior to our knowledge of him. Saul's hatred for the new sect of Christians had already been aroused by his teachings that he not only despised the crucified Messiah, but regarded Christians as being both politically and religiously dangerous. He persecuted them with a misguided conscience, and believing in persecuting them that he was rendering the highest service to God. In Acts 23 and verse 1, "And Saul, earnestly beholding the council, said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day." So, brethren, you see now that Paul thought and Paul believed that he was serving God by persecuting Christians. Now, Saul was born in the city of Tarsus. He was a Roman citizen. He was a Pharisee. He was a student of Gamaliel. He was a Jew. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was raised up in the city of Jerusalem. He was a tent maker by trade and was someone who had attained a certain amount of respect in the Jewish community at that time. Now, when Stephen was martyred, Saul was there to hold the cloaks of those involved, for he was in agreement with what they were doing. We see that account in Acts, the 7th chapter, verse 58 through 8:1. If you would turn your Bibles to Acts 8 for just a moment. Acts, the 8th chapter. Now, Saul persecuted the church with zeal unmatched in the New Testament. Acts 8 and verse 3. "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. He went to other cities to stop what he saw as the destruction of the nation of Israel by what he saw as heretics." Now, it is on this trip that we begin to see the conversion of Saul. Since there are millions and millions of preachers teaching today that Paul was saved on the road to Damascus, well, let's see what really happened on that road to Damascus. The thing that we first need to note is what brought Saul to that road in the first place. Saul and the other men were on their way from Jerusalem to Damascus with authority from the high priest to bind Christians and bring them to Jerusalem for punishment. Now, I want us to take our time and look at all these scriptures and understand, since our salvation is at stake. At about noon, according to Acts 22 and verse 6, a bright light out of heaven shone upon Saul. Let's look at Acts 9 and verse 3. Acts 9 and verse 3 puts it this way. And he journeyed, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Now Saul fell on the earth, and he heard a voice saying in verse 4, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul answered and said in verse 5, Who art thou, Lord? And the voice responded with, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now trembling, Saul said in verse 6, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the following answer was given from chapter 9 and verse 6, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now, you might want to keep your place there. We're going to go back and forth to chapter 22. So go to chapter 22 for just a moment and verse 10. It's important that we read these, brethren. And from Acts 22 and verse 10, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. So one of the first things to notice when you look at this moment when the gospel was first being introduced to Saul, who the speaker was. It was our Lord and Savior, the very one that Paul was persecuting. Who else would have a chance to talk to Paul this way? Anyone else who would have tried to talk to him surely would have been put to death or put in prison. He had persecuted others many times for the same thing. Now I want you to note something very important just here. In these two accounts, chapter 9 and chapter 22, we learn that Saul was to be told in the city of Damascus what he must do. He was to be told what he must do. He was not a saved man at this point. Saul was now blind and was led by those who accompanied him into Damascus. Now then, what really happened in Damascus? Well, Saul went to the house of a man named Judas, who lived on a street called Straight. For 3 days, Saul was without sight. He didn't eat or drink either, and he spent his time in prayer. I want you to note here that this prayer was not the thing that saved Paul. He was still a lost man. Turn back to Acts 9 again. Acts 9. Ananias, a certain disciple, was told by the Lord to go unto Saul, and after a little hesitation, he did as the Lord commanded him. Acts 9, verse 10. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him saith the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go unto the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, Paul goes now from a time of being the persecutor to a life of persecution. Do you remember just some of the things that Paul suffered for Jesus' name, as the Lord said he would in Acts 9 and verse 16? I want to just look at one. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And we'll start reading with verse 23 when you get there. The Bible says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths off. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. And then he goes on to say, besides all those things that are without, that which cometh on me daily, the care of all the churches. And brethren, this is just a few of the great things that Paul suffered for Christ's namesake. Now, let's go back to Acts of chapter 9, if you will. Acts chapter 9. Come in. We're in Acts chapter 9. We're studying the conversion of the Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 9, when Ananias came to Saul, he said in verse 17, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Saul did receive his sight, but still was not told what he must do to be saved at this point. Now look at Acts 22 in verse 14 and 15. The Bible says, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one. Of course, brethren, that just one is our Lord Jesus. And shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast heard, or had seen and heard. I want you to notice now, the Lord appeared to Saul in order that he might be an apostle for the Lord. Why? Because Acts chapter 1 and verse 21 and 22 states that an apostle must be a witness of the resurrected Christ. That is his qualifications. To be qualified to be an apostle, you must be a witness of the resurrected Christ. Now, Saul was now a witness, for he saw the Lord after the resurrection. Turn to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter with me. Now, later on, Paul would write in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, the following. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time, for I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. So you see, brethren, the reason that Christ appeared unto Saul was to qualify him to be an apostle. The specific purpose of the appearance was not, I repeat, it was not to save Saul, it was to qualify him to be an apostle. Now the Lord had told Saul that what he would be told in Damascus was what he must do. Going back to Acts 22, if you would, in verse 16. Familiar passage. Acts 22 and verse 16. We now find Ananias saying, And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Saul was not saved before this or before he was told to be baptized to wash away his sins. He still bore his sins. They had not been remitted or they had not been washed away. And so simple is the command and so great is the reward. So you see, brethren, here is an alien sinner who was told to quit praying, get up, be baptized, and wash away his sins. And in all the cases of conversions recorded in the book of Acts, not one time was an alien sinner told to pray to be saved. So what happened next is very simple to see. Turn with me to Acts 9 and look at verse 18. Saul was baptized. The Bible simply tells us he arose and was baptized. So that there be no mistake about it, this baptism to which Saul submitted in humble obedience to the will of the Lord was by immersion. So how do we know that? Well, Paul himself tells us that in Romans the 6th chapter. Turn over with me. Romans the 6th chapter. The Apostle Paul would later write in Romans 6 verses 3 through 6 these words. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. Notice here now that Paul wrote, we are buried with him by baptism. Paul himself was immersed in water, buried, if you will, to have his sins washed away. This was the thing that Saul must do, and I hope you can see that. He was not sprinkled, he was not poured upon and called baptism, he was buried or immersed. Now, after baptism, Saul took food and he was strengthened, and there you have the chronological account of the conversion of Saul. Saul displays the nature of faith plainly. God said it, and he believed it. He did it. He said it, and he believed it. Why won't people do that today? Why do 95% of the denominational world teach that baptism is not essential to salvation? I'll never understand it because it is so plain. But they do. 95, maybe 98% of the denominational world teach and preach that salvation is not essential to baptism is not essential to salvation. So right away, Saul begins to preach and teach about Christ, that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, saying in verse 20 of chapter 9, he is the Son of God. He began right away teaching and preaching. Now I ask you, do you see that Saul was not saved on the road to Damascus? On the road to Damascus. Let's just take a moment and consider the consequences of saying that he was saved on the road. If Saul was saved on the road to Damascus, can I suggest to you, first of all, he didn't know it, for it was Saul himself who said, "What shall I do, Lord?" May I suggest to you as well that if Saul was saved on the road to Damascus, the Lord didn't know it either, for it was the Lord who said, "Rise and enter into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." The Lord didn't say, "There isn't anything you need to do, Saul." He didn't say that, did he? No, he didn't. He said, "Rise and enter into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do to be saved." Now let me also suggest to you that if Saul was saved on the road to Damascus, as taught by the denominational world, neither Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, nor the Holy Spirit knew it, for they recorded the facts. They say that Saul was told to be baptized and wash away his sin in Acts 22 and verse 16 that we read. It doesn't take a genius to know that if he was saved before that statement, then his sins were already washed away. And I wonder why so many preachers refuse to preach what is so obvious, or why they deny what is so obvious. Again, let me suggest to you, if Saul was saved on the road to Damascus, then the Lord misled him. For the Lord told Saul there, meaning Damascus, "There it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do." But that was not so if he was saved on the road to Damascus. You see? I hope you understand that. Again, if he was saved on the road, he was saved without doing what the Lord told him must be done. And let me suggest to you that if Saul was saved on the road to Damascus, he was terribly miserable for a saved man. He was blind and he didn't eat or drink for a period of 3 days. Isn't that an unusual reaction for a man who had just had the weight of his sins removed from him? And finally, let me suggest to you that if Saul was saved on the road to Damascus, Ananias didn't know it, for Ananias was the one who went to him and told him what it was that he must do to be saved. So let's see now if we might not summarize what we have seen and studied and maybe better understand how Saul became a Christian. The foremost characteristic of the case is the fact that Jesus himself was the preacher. It was his word proclaimed at his appearance in the miraculous light that made Saul a believer and brought him to repentance. Faith came, as it always does, by hearing by the word of God. But even while Jesus was the preacher and while his words to Saul caused him to believe and repent, there was still something for the sinner to do before he could find the peace that comes from forgiveness. And for information concerning this, the Lord sent him to Damascus instead of giving it to him himself. While in the city of Damascus awaiting this information, even though he was suffering the most obvious pangs of penitence, even though he pours out his heart in prayer, his sins are still unforgiven. Every honest heart must recognize that this shows that forgiveness does not, I repeat, it does not come immediately upon faith and repentance, as millions upon millions today are preaching and teaching as we speak, as they preach the false doctrine of saved at the point of belief. Saul stayed this way for 3 days. Why? Because no one came to tell him what to do. That's why. Saul did not know someone to send for, and neither Ananias or any other disciple would even go near Saul if it was left to themselves, so a divine act, if you will, was necessary. The Lord sent Ananias after speaking to him. Thus a human messenger is made to tell the sinner Saul what to do even after the Lord himself had appeared to him, and the human messenger helps him to do what he is told to do by baptizing him. I hope you understand that. When he is baptized, and not before, his grief and fastings are at an end, his sins are forgiven, and the story of his conversion ends. How simple, how clear and simple, God's plan of salvation. Saul's life gives us a unique opportunity to look at as a Christian and his behavior in close detail, both before and after his conversion. Paul epitomizes the nature of true repentance. He was told what to do. He did it. He didn't hesitate. He didn't say, "Why should I have to do that?" No, he was told what to do, and he did it immediately. And we can learn many important things from the life and conversion of Paul. He was one who understood and he lived a simple life of a Christian in a tough and trying time, obeying the simple commands given unto him and placing his ultimate trust in God. Paul was open and he was forthright with his faith, never shirking or hiding from it. Paul would rather have let his own freedom be curtailed than to even risk offending a brother in Christ. But listen to me, brethren. But he was not one to hide from controversy or let sin and worldly ways invade the church. Saul was saved after he believed in Jesus, and he repented from his sins, and he was baptized for the remission of his sins. And later, Paul would teach by inspiration that baptism puts a man into Christ. This he wrote in Galatians 3 and verse 27 with the words, "For as many of you, as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." How can we get into Christ? There's only one way, brethren, and Paul tells us. He says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Galatians 3 and verse 27. That's the only way we can get into Christ. And Paul would also write that baptism puts one into the one body, and that one body is the church that Jesus built and died for, the church of Christ. When one obeys the Word of God, in other words, does what he must do, just like Saul did, then the Lord adds him to that one body, the church, according to Acts 2 and verse 47. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Brethren, we don't join any church. We are added to the church by the Lord himself. We would do well to consider our own ideas and actions and see if we truly are the examples that Paul wanted Timothy to be when he said, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and in conversation, in charity and spirit, in faith and in purity." We have to be examples, brethren. We have to be examples. Why? Because we have the truth. We are the only ones that have the truth. And if we don't tell the sinner what to do to be saved, nobody will. Nobody knows but us. We are the only ones that have the truth. And then possibly one day we too can have the faith to say, as Paul said in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." That's what he said when he was about to die, when he was about to be killed by the Romans. I hope that I'll be able to say those same words when I'm about to die, and I hope all of us here will be able to also. So now let me ask you, my friends, are you a Christian? If you haven't done what Saul did, you are not a Christian. Will you obey the simple New Testament teaching and then work and worship in the undenominational church that Jesus built? Won't you be saved like Saul? Saul heard the gospel. Saul confessed Jesus as the Son of God. Saul was baptized for the remission of his sins, and he was saved from his past sins when his sins were washed away. So won't you obey these simple commands and become a Christian this very evening? Won't you come as we stand and as we sing that wonderful song? Oh, what? There's a great day coming. Brethren, there is a great day coming, and I hope we're all ready for it. If not, please come right now as we stand and as we sing.